Layla, any general questions you'd like to ask Kathy about this whole issue of hormone therapy?
Do you think it's reasonable to switch from one to a different one based on tolerance? If I had a patient who was really having limiting neutropenia or anemia on palbociclib, for example, is there a role for switching to an alternate CDK4/6 inhibitor?
So I think actually at this point, that is the only reason where it's reasonable to switch from one to another. If you have someone whose disease seems to be doing well on the first CDK4/6 inhibitor that you start them on, but they're having toxicity that you really think is prohibitive, there is a CDK4/6 inhibitor with a different toxicity profile, regardless of which one you started with. If the myelosuppression is prohibitive, there is much less myelosuppression with abemaciclib. If they start with abemaciclib and they're really struggling with the GI toxicity, and much less GI toxicity with palbo and ribociclib. So I think that does give us an option to adjust therapy based on toxicity rather than stopping therapy that seems to be effective. It also gives us a way of potentially selecting a first agent based on the toxicity profile. I haven't experienced this yet, but I could imagine if you said we had somebody who has had radiation to their entire pelvis and lumbosacral spine for palliative intent because of painful bone lesions. So their baseline blood counts because of that are a little iffy, and that makes you a bit squeamish about palbo or ribo because of myosuppression. That might be someone for whom abemaciclib as a preferential first agent might make a whole lot of sense for them.
Kathy, have you used ribociclib and any comments on it? I guess there's a potential issue in terms of QT and I think LFTs.
So I used ribociclib in some of their initial clinical trials, Neil. I hate having to get EKGs, quite honestly. So I haven't used it as part of standard practice since it's been approved. That is partly just habit. We and my nurses had a lot more experience with palbociclib. I think other than that difference in needing to look for QT issues with ribociclib, its activity and its other toxicities look very similar. So I certainly couldn't fault someone who says we had a lot of experience with ribo and I'm very comfortable with that. My nurses are very comfortable with that. I don't see any reason for them to change that practice either.
Layla, any other questions?
So with the CDK4/6 inhibitors, palbociclib or ribociclib would be similar. How frequently do you encounter significant anemia or thrombocytopenia?
So thrombocytopenia, in my experience and in the clinical trial data, has been less common. Mm-hmm. Anemia gets a little bit tricky because anemia tends to take longer to become clinically apparent. So we tend to see anemia more as a later toxicity. That often tends to be in the people who are responding. So they're continuing therapy for a longer period of time. I certainly can't think of anybody for whom we've stopped therapy or have needed to give them transfusions because of anemia. I have a few folks for whom the myelosuppression required more dose modifications than the clinical trial data would have allowed. So I have a couple of folks who are at a 75 milligram dose of palbo for 2 weeks, and then they have 2 weeks off because that is all their blood counts are able to tolerate. Some folks might say that those are folks where you might think about switching to abemaciclib, which would be quite reasonable, except they're responding and doing well. Mm-hmm. And I don't see any reason to mess with that success for them right now.